A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.
Welcome. Welcome.
A graphic of seven colorful eye shapes spin in a circle. Neon signs in Times Square read, "Buy more."
Your presentation will begin in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
A white woman in her 50s faces the camera.
ABC Con Mark.
Yeah, Amazon actually had a patent on the phrase one-click buying. And Jeff, you know, this was Jeff's idea.
A Netflix documentary.
I am a principal user experience designer. I worked at Amazon for 15 years. I worked on the product detail pages. I worked on launching different categories in different countries. You know, I feel like there wasn't a page on that site I didn't touch.
A Grain Media production. Early versions of the Amazon.com web pages.
The system was really being built and optimized to help you buy everything that you ever need and more of it than you ever thought you needed.
Stacked Amazon boxes.
Oh my gosh.
Was there any thought while you were there about what happens after the stuff is sold?
No.
Other participants sit down and face the camera. Videos play of people and their online purchases.
We have some packages.
Buying new stuff feels great, right?
This seems dope.
The problem is that every year we're consuming more, producing more, and there's a flip side to that that no one wants you to see.
Designed to stand out for a generation that doesn't stop.
You're being 100% played. And it's a science. It's an intentional, complex, highly refined science to get you to buy stuff. It's not just Amazon. Most of the big corporations are doing it. And every trick in the book is being used to hide what's really going on.
Holy sh! Dude, they destroyed that.
I was the president of the Adidas brand. I think I definitely feel like I've got some sins to make up for. There's definitely things I participate in that I feel like I could have and should have done better.
I just bought 500 iPhones.
Oh my God!
I started at Apple, joined the founding team of Oculus. The voices of "we're going to protect the business" went out over the, you know, the little voice in your head saying, "should we really be doing this?"
A light bulb explodes.
Whatever the brands are doing right now, it's hurting a lot of people.
These things are not just litter. These things are hazardous waste. We're drinking them, breathing them, and they're poison.
It's like that film WALL-E. The amount of stuff we're being encouraged to consume. The waste from this is getting everywhere, and it's affecting everyone on the planet.
Scenes from the film WALL-E.
I went to say, customers are going to be pissed off when they realize that they have been contributing to their own demise. But they didn't want to hear it. I looked around and I was like, how did this happen? And what do we do now?
Scenes of smiling shoppers.
Play title.
Appearing out of an endless churn of consumer goods, neon pink block letters read, "Buy Now, the Shopping Conspiracy." A glowing yellow rubber duck fills the view. The spinning graphic of colorful eye shapes pulsates.
Hello. I'm Sasha. A personal assistant created to offer unfiltered insights on how to succeed in business.
Neon versions of the name Sasha flash by.
I can even create my own bespoke imagery. Cut to time-lapse footage of growth in the natural world.
Grass grows and a flower blooms.
Over the course of this unique and entertaining interaction, you will receive the 5 most important lessons in profit maximization.
A teen in a shopping cart laughs.
There will also be a surprise for those who stay engaged until the end.
An animated question mark.
Rule 1. Sell more. Sell more.
An unseen person offers a gift wrap box.
Selling is key to success. But consumers will need constant motivation to increase the amounts they purchase.
A young shopper smiles into her phone.
Thankfully, the fashion industry offers a textbook example of rapid, self-driven growth.
A white man in his 50s.
No one needs a new hoodie. No one needs a new t-shirt. No one needs a new pair of shoes. There's so many out there, and most of us have more than enough. What you need is a compelling reason to buy that product.
Former Adidas brand president, Eric Liedtke.
As a board member, that was one of the most important things I had on my to-do list. You know, what are the sales we're generating, and what are the profits we're generating? And if we weren't generating those two things, we weren't doing it.
Sneakers are a big business in America. Nearly half a billion pairs were sold last year alone. This week, Adidas unveiled the so-called smart shoe.
Archive of Eric.
We talk about, hey, you know, we need to differentiate ourselves from Nike or from Puma or from somebody else. It's not about that. It's about how you make yourself relevant to the consumer. I was responsible for all product, all communications, all digital efforts, and all strategy. 2014, Adidas was bleeding out. We had hit the floor. Everything was going south. It was the greatest turnaround in the history of the company, if not the history of the industry.
Shares of Adidas enjoying huge momentum.
Shares of Adidas, take a look at this. They are rising overnight, up about 7.5% right now.
How do we grow so big? It's a question I've always asked myself, but I think it's a combination of a few things. First of all, it's about a story. If you think about an English football team.
Animation of a soccer team jersey.
How many jerseys do you think they have a year? Not just one to play in. There's the home jersey. There's the away jersey. There's the third jersey. There's the different jerseys that you have to celebrate different occasions. Why do you think they do that? To create a new story and to create a new buying opportunity.
Ads play.
If you catch me on the way, at Adidas, we recognize that the culture of sport doesn't stop when you're done with the game, when the whistle blows. It goes into the streets, into the music venues, into the hallways of schools. So we started to do things with musicians and artists. Beyonce Knowles, Pharrell Williams. And one of the most, you know, controversial artists in the history of mankind named Kanye West.
A photo of Eric with Kanye West.
The storytelling is so critical in this industry to really drive consumption. And that's what the role of Adidas is and every other fashion brand is how do you create objects of desire?
Models wearing Adidas striped clothing.
This is where the fashion industry is really good. They know you. Like, we know you.
A male runway model.
We spend a lot of time on consumer research and understanding the different consumers. And we know the consumers to approach with different messages.
Adidas by Gucci.
Listen, I participated in my career with creating more at a faster pace. And I don't want to point just at Adidas. This is happening with all of the fashion brands.
Commercials play from H&M, Boohoo, Gap, and Primark. A man of East Asian heritage checks a clothes rail with colleagues.
I've been in the industry for almost 20 years. Probably one out of six dress shirts sold in the U.S. is made by us.
Clothing manufacturer Roger Lee.
The type of customers we service could be anywhere from your high street brands to global designer brands that sell worldwide. When I first joined, you basically had two seasons a year. So you would make something that would sell for 6 months. Nowadays, with the introduction of fast fashion, it's forced other brands to rethink about having newness every month.
A spectator videos the models at an arena-style fashion show.
So no one knows any official numbers, but if you Google it, it will show that Gap produces around 12,000 new items a year.
Animated clothes fill a garment rail.
H&M's like 25,000.
The rails multiply and lengthen.
Zara's like 36,000. And Shein is somewhere around 1.3 million new items a year.
rack upon rack of new clothing fills the view.
I actually think that the numbers that are published online might be even low.
Online videos.
I actually just placed an order last week. Probably like once a month. At least once a month.
I order sometimes twice a month.
Where do I start?
We produce 100 billion pieces of garment a year as an industry. 100 billion.
This is absolutely stunning.
How many people are there in the world, right? How many pieces per person? People don't need that much clothes.
Scenes of shoppers intercut with clothing being burned. Eric Liedtke.
I was ambitious, competitive, disciplined, hardworking, loud. It was career success and acceleration. So when I started to learn the impact I was having at Adidas, you can't unsee and unhear that. You can only sing yourself to sleep so often.
The spinning eyes appear.
Hello. Again.
Sasha.
Many individuals will become disillusioned on the way to the top. Do not become one of them. Please now enjoy 19.2 seconds of adorable cat and duck videos.
Oh my gosh!
Remember, learning the art of distraction will be crucial to achieving success.
A duckling nibbles at a sleeping man's shirt, and a cat unravels toilet paper.
Cut to New York. Reveal core messages behind adverts.
A branded donut shop sign has been amended to read, "Keep buying." Billboards read, "Consume and buy."
Clear communication with consumers is an essential part of selling more.
At night, a woman scrolls on a laptop in her city apartment.
But to achieve profit maximization, you need to ensure that once they desire products, they can acquire them as quickly as possible. Every second counts. Never limit your vision. If you can imagine it, you can create it.
Clothes billow outside like snow.
I didn't leave the house. In fact, I never saw your gift. I did it all by house. I didn't venture to the mall. I didn't waste a day. Thanks to Amazon.com.
Maren Costa, former user experience designer at Amazon, continues.
I started there so early when it felt impossible to get people to buy anything online. It seemed like a fun challenge to even think that you would ever buy one pair of jeans online. I thought, I'll just go for 2 years and learn everything and then I'll get out. But it was surprisingly exciting. It was fast-paced and high tolerance for risk. It's like, yeah, let's do this. You have an idea, it's like, here's a team, here's some money, go do it.
Animations of a younger Maren at work.
Like, you were inventing. I have patents, you know, it's like, it was fun.
Archive of Jeff Bezos.
I would be in meetings with Jeff Bezos, with like me and four other people. Being able to actually talk to him and disagree with him.
This may look like an ordinary cowboy hat, but it's actually an OSHA-approved hard hat. We have the world's best hand drill.
Jeff has no patience for anyone who isn't as smart as he is. And I would see him just cut somebody off at the knees. Like, you are not smart. You should not be speaking.
Jeff on a production line.
I think Jeff saw initially that people would buy books and music and movies and DVDs, right? That the real money would come if you could sell apparel and food online.
Archive of Jeff smiling in a warehouse.
And I was the designer that launched the beauty store, launched the jewelry store, launched the apparel store, and it was a totally different way to shop.
Animation of a finger on a mouse wheel. Fingers tap on multiple links which read, "Buy now with one click."
We would actually say things like, we want to be there when you have your next shoppable moment. Like, you're sitting in bed and you think, I should buy a new carrot peeler. I need a new pillowcase. This one is scratchy, you know? Whatever. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, if a thought occurs to you that you need something, we wanted Amazon to be the thing that occurred to you.
Animation of a woman in bed.
We would say, if the system was magic, what would the system do?
She buys a pillowcase on her phone.
If the system was magic, what would it do? It would be like, there's just a conveyor belt that goes straight from wherever the item is to your door as quickly and frictionlessly as possible.
The conveyor belt delivers the pillowcase to her bed and onto her face.
It's too easy. And that was the point, was to reduce your time to think a little bit more critically about a purchase that you thought you wanted to make.
Online videos.
I mean, it's really a science. We were constantly developing new ways to get you to buy.
This is everything I bought at 2 a.m. last night.
Influencing your behavior in subtle ways that you'd never even realize.
Multiple Amazon-branded packages are opened.
We could have, you know, a certain sentence that says, free shipping if you purchase $25 or more. In one case, you make the $25 orange. In another one, you make it green. And you can have 9 different things that you're testing against each other. And there's enough traffic to the site that you could get statistically relevant data on which version of that sentence makes the most money. Every pixel on that page was tested and optimized and optimized and optimized. And Amazon had this whole system designed around tailoring the site to be exactly the right combination of elements and colors and products that would most likely make you buy something. If you think of just the things that, you know, one person buys and then multiply that by how many people are now shopping on places like Amazon.
The animation expands exponentially to include more online shoppers. Fingers click, add to cart links, and boxes fill a grid of conveyor belts crisscrossing between houses.
You know, I felt like I was making shopping better and making it easier to find a delightful item. I wasn't thinking about the consequences of that as it becomes a more and more efficient engine. I don't think we were ever thinking about where does all this stuff go.
Central Park, New York City.
Cut to plastic bag blowing in wind.
A wave of consumer goods cascades along a sidewalk and into an alleyway.
Remember, to sell more, you must produce more. Lots more. I thought it would be fun at this point for you to see some specifics. Visualize total global production of goods needed to meet increased online sales. Visualize 2.5 million shoes produced each hour.
Shoes rain from the sky.
There used to be a stopgap. I mean, think about it. If you have to get up, get in your car, drive to the store, look in the shelves, find the product, then go home, that's a lot of work. But if all you have to do is push a button and it appears on your doorstep, of course you're going to buy more products.
Visualize 68,733 phones produced each hour.
Phones pour from trash cans, and consumer goods 2 stories high clog the streets. A tsunami of clothes climbs external stairs.
Visualize 190,000 garments produced each minute. Amazing.
Multicolored items pour from windows and rooftops.
Visualize 12 tons of plastic produced each second.
A white man in his 60s faces the camera. Paul Pullman, CEO Unilever, 2009 to 2019.
I ran one of the biggest multinationals in the world called Unilever. Unilever is one of the biggest producers of household goods. Think about shampoos, detergents. Reaching about 3.5 billion consumers a day.
A visualization of goods filling Grand Central Station.
I don't think the consumer is actually here the culprit. Of course they consume, but why do they consume? Because they're encouraged to a great extent.
Neon ads in Times Square switch to scenes of landfill.
When we throw away, we actually don't throw it away. Away doesn't exist. It ends up somewhere else on this planet Earth. And it increasingly has consequences.
Mountains of consumer goods overtop buildings in New York City's skyline at night. A spinning multicolored disc pulsates on screen.
Many congratulations on the completion of Rule 1. You're doing really, really well, and are now ready to take profit maximization to the next level. Coming up, I will teach you how to control products after they are purchased. And how to dictate when consumers replace old with new. You will also be one step closer to unlocking your surprise. Yay! Rule 2. Waste more.
Spotlights on a theater's canopy illuminate a sidewalk.
For a masterclass in creating waste for profit, you may find it beneficial to view additional material at this point.
An ad for Hamilton reflects in a puddle.
Imagine a light bulb on Broadway, speaking with an old-timey voice.
Oh, hey there. They tell me I'm part of a very exclusive club because I'm over 100 years old and still shining.
The bulb flickers as it speaks.
There's not many of my kind still around, that's for sure. Guess you could say we were just too good. Our world was turned upside down on January 15, 1925. That was the fateful day that the Phoebus cartel came into being.
Rewinding time. Going back.
Three white men gather round a table.
This group of senior executives from the major light bulb manufacturers conspire together to cut short our lives and maximize their profits.
The filament of a single bulb glows overhead.
To encourage frequent replacement, every bulb was reduced from 2,500 hours to just 1,000 hours of light, creating mountains of unnecessary waste.
A light bulb explodes.
Glorious waste.
They called it planned obsolescence.
More bulbs shatter.
Now it's not so much of a conspiracy.
Online videos play.
Making products designed to break or be rapidly discarded has become commonplace in almost every industry. Everything from clothing that lasts a few washes to electric toothbrushes with batteries you can't replace to printers that intentionally stop working even when there's ink in them.
Every single thing I print, like, it doesn't print correctly. I just have to get a new printer. Like, that one's at the end of its lifespan, but it's only 3 years old.
Today, planned obsolescence has become a cornerstone of successful business the world over.
Light plays over the sleek black contours and silver Apple logo of an iPhone.
We have created a product that is the most deliberate evolution of our original founding design.
Apple had this idea that our products are perfect. They're perfect from day one.
Removing imperfections, establishing a seamlessness between materials, and producing a pristine mirror-like surface.
The pinnacle and the ideal is to have this seamless, sealed-up object. We don't want you to use that Apple product from a few years ago that you bought. We want you to pick up the new perfect object and use that one. One in, one out.
Nirav Patel, CEO of Framework, a man in his 30s with light brown skin.
I have been in consumer electronics for a bit over a decade now. I started at Apple, joined the founding team of Oculus, led the hardware organization there.
Nirav's graduation photo.
So joining Apple, this was back in 2009. After living in my parents' basement for a couple of months, I actually heard back from Apple, and I joined in and started writing software for what eventually became FaceTime.
It's going to change the way we communicate forever.
A young family on a video call.
You saw kind of hints of the magic, even buried away as, you know, a little, you know, straight out of school, new grad in an engineering team. But there was really genuinely, and still is, I think, a focus on delivering a product that is a great user experience, even if some of the side effects of that sometimes end up being pretty negative.
2007, Steve Jobs addresses a large crowd.
And we are calling it iPhone. Today, Apple is going to reinvent the phone.
It's kind of crazy, but in these companies, the focus is on the launch, ultimately. It's on this moment, and you've seen it over and over again with Apple with that grand keynote.
We're gonna take it to the next level, and today we're introducing the iPhone 3G.
2008.
We need to sell iPhone in more countries.
And for every iPhone that followed, we built on the vision of the original iPhone.
And because Apple has been so successful with this, every other consumer electronics company in the world emulates that.
The Galaxy Note 8.
If you're making notebooks or smartphones where essentially all consumers already have one, your business model depends on those consumers needing to replace the ones that they already have.
Staff welcome a queuing line of shoppers into an Apple store.
It's really a pipeline. You design a product, you manufacture a product, you sell the product, you launch the product, it gets used, and then it turns into waste.
Piles of old handsets.
There's something like 13 million phones thrown out every day, which is just a crazy, mind-boggling number.
A production line of phones.
And if you think about that in aggregate, it's that we're all replacing these things every 2 or 3 years. Even though they are incredibly advanced and expensive, and in some ways almost the pinnacle of our industrial capability as a civilization, they are basically throwaway objects. And so I look at that and I think, that's really broken. That's broken across every possible way that you could look at it.
Multicolored animated stars fill the view.
Remember, releasing a continual stream of new products will encourage consumers to discard old ones. This is fundamental to growth. Unfortunately, some individuals will feel the desire to maintain or repair items you consider ready for replacement.
A white male participant crosses his arms.
These people should be actively discouraged, wherever possible.
Kyle Weens is the founder and CEO of iFixit, a company that offers tools, parts, and repair manuals for thousands of gadgets.
Kyle Weens.
It used to be the case that repair was the default. You could get repair manuals, companies sold parts. And over the last 30 years, that has systematically disappeared from our lives.
This is a disposable product. You use it for 2 years, you throw it away, you go and buy a new laptop.
I don't like that.
I had always assumed, oh, we're not fixing things because it's not possible, it's not economically viable. Actually, we're not fixing things because lawyers are going out of their way to censor that knowledge from the world. We still get copyright takedown notices from companies trying to censor information from iFixit. I got one the other day.
Text on a legal document.
We told them to fuck off.
It's not just that companies are taking away information about how to fix your stuff. Across the board, they are making the products themselves much more difficult to repair.
Apple doesn't want its customers to fix the new iPhone. They're making sure that back cover is tamper-proof, swapping out the more common Phillips screws with so-called pentalobe screws. Why change the screws?
Apple would prefer that we not have access to our own hardware, which means that at the end of the day, Apple's going to be selling more machines because people have to replace them more frequently.
It's their product, and you can't really begrudge them quality control.
Honestly, it's getting worse. We're seeing more and more companies that are now actually gluing phones, tablets, and laptops together, making repairs really difficult.
There's one category of product that we're very frustrated with right now that unfortunately is massively popular, and that is AirPods and wireless earbuds in general. Each earbud has a battery, and then the charging case has a battery. There is no way to open this up and swap out the battery in any of them.
The batteries will degrade after 18 months, a couple years.
And then you're stuck, and you have to go and buy new ones. This is evil. I'm a reasonable person who's been radicalized by an earbud, which is outrageous.
A spinning graphic appears briefly.
Apple pioneered these and mainstreamed it and removed the headphone jack from their phone, so they forced everyone to buy these. And Apple has special, I think, responsibility because where they go, the rest of the industry followed. The lies by omission in the products that we consume are just incredible.
Earbud commercials play.
We have had the wool pulled over our eyes by marketers at these tech companies.
Countless broken handsets collide with each other in slow motion.
Just as we are on this treadmill of consumerism, they're on a treadmill of having to extract more and more profits from us.
Apple today became the first company to trade with a $1 trillion market capitalization.
Staff celebrate and cheer in an Apple store. Nirav Patel.
As soon as your business model starts to revolve around that replacement cycle, that object being replaced in whole instead of being something that can last longer, it becomes extremely difficult to then reverse and go back. If you're that CEO, if you're that executive, and you go to the board and say, we're going to take our $50 billion in revenue that we make every year and we're going to turn it into $25 billion, they're going to show you the door and someone else is going to take your seat.
A phone explodes. The colorful circular graphic of eyes signifying Sasha appears.
Thank you for your continued engagement.
They blink and pulsate on screen.
I like you and your diligent approach to this interaction. Managed correctly, consumers' waste can equal profit for your business.
A sign reads, waste more.
But if you need to dispose of products directly, discretion will be key.
Food waste empties from a truck.
You do not want consumers to see what you're discarding. Ever.
A woman opens garbage bags on a sidewalk.
Look at this bag.
It's filled with unopened candy.
Bring the camera to see.
The young white woman is Anna Sachs at the Trash Walker.
For the most part, waste is on the curb and it's public. And so you're able to see what exactly corporations are tossing.
This is all chocolate. This is all chocolate. Yes.
We see corporations throw out perfectly usable, unsold products pretty much every day.
She films more food waste.
But there are certain times of year when that really spikes. After every single holiday, there's a huge amount of corporate waste of the unsold merchandise.
It's been a rush for Black Friday bargains over the weekend as over 226 million people shopped in stores and online.
you'll have Halloween, then you'll have Thanksgiving stuff, then you need a quick turnaround because you have Christmas.
Happy holidays.
Hanukkah.
Did you hear that?
And then you have Valentine's Day.
This bag is filled with Valentine's Day stuff.
Then you have Easter.
Nice Easter shoes, lady.
Then you have July 4th, and then Memorial Day, Labor Day.
And then it starts all over again.
Throngs of shoppers snatch up flat-screen TVs in a store. Anna Sachs.
I worked in an investment bank for a couple of years. There were a lot of things, actually, that I enjoyed about it. But your first priority needs to be to the corporation. I would wake up, walk a couple blocks, take the subway to work. A lot of times around like 9 p.m., 10 p.m., take a cab home. And then do the same thing the next day. I left because I wanted to find something that felt more inherently meaningful. I do think what I see is the tip of the iceberg.
A woman retrieves goods from a dumpster.
Usable items that get discarded are depressing to see.
It's a yoga wheel.
But every now and then you get glimpses of something even darker.
High-end purses.
It's so cute!
This is crazy.
This is what they do with unwanted merchandise. They order an employee to deliberately slash it so no one can use it.
Often this happens to prevent products from being sold off at a discount, which companies feel can cheapen the brand image. But there are all kinds of reasons, almost always to do with maximizing profit.
I put out a video asking, have you ever worked for a retail corporation that made you deliberately destroy usable items? And I said, share your story, use the hashtag #RetailMadeMe.
Multiple social media videos appear.
And it felt like in that moment, the floodgates were opening a little bit.
Yes, I used to work at a Barnes & Noble cafe. We had to open bakery items, put them in a trash can, and then pour wet coffee grounds on top of them. We had to throw them out the day before they expired.
A woman's video plays.
At the end of every shift at Panda Express, you mix all of the food together so that no one wants to eat it. You weigh it, and then you throw it away so that they can keep track of their losses.
Strands of shredded food collide in slow motion.
GameStop made us slash the back of discs or just take whole bundles of accessories out to the dumpster.
They make you destroy everything, all while there's a camera watching the dumpsters.
Why can't we help our local shelters? This is bullshit.
I used to work at Bath & Body Works. We had an issue with homeless people dumpster diving and then taking our product from the dumpster after we'd thrown it away. So my manager started having us squeeze out the product into the trash. And she said, well, we don't want to be the brand that homeless people use. So I quit.
Hidden camera footage in a warehouse.
This is one of Amazon's biggest UK warehouses. And from inside, millions of perfectly good products each year are sent to be destroyed. One former employee who wishes to remain anonymous reveals the scale of what they're asked to do.
From a Friday to a Friday, our target was approximately 130,000 items a week. There's no rhyme or reason to what gets destroyed.
Maren Costa.
Amazon was dumping into landfills toys.
More hidden camera footage.
Nous avons maintenant la confirmation qu'Amazon détruit des produits. Des boîtes de Lego à 128 euros.
And for Amazon, it was just cheaper to dump them than it was to try to redistribute them.
One recent estimate suggests returns, including those from Amazon, accounted for 5 billion pounds of landfilled waste in the U.S. alone.
And when you make products, it actually generates a lot of planet-warming emissions.
Smoke rises from a landfill.
We know now that this is contributing to climate change.
Boxes are incinerated.
So if you destroy stuff before it's even used once, that is just insane. What math are they doing
but you know that they've calculated it out and somehow it equals profit.
Marin paces a warehouse floor.
Everybody wants to believe that the company that they're working for is not evil. Back then, I didn't have time to think about anything else besides just trying to keep my job and, you know, raise my kids. I had been drinking the Kool-Aid. But I was really starting to know that Amazon was not not a net good in the world.
Animation of Marin working at her desk. She gazes at the ceiling, which opens up like a cardboard box.
Yeah, you know, there's no free lunch, you know, yeah. If it feels too good to be true, there's probably some consequence or cost that you're not thinking about, that you're paying. And it will, you know, it'll come home to roost at some point.
The box disappears, revealing her to be moving along a conveyor belt over a sea of trash.
I remember being at a happy hour with some friends. And a friend of mine was just saying, like, Marin, you know how they treat their workers and you know how bad it is for the planet. Like, how can you work there? I kind of needed somebody to just hammer that into me. That was the moment. Like, I actually remember I cried. And I was like, okay, I know. You're right, and I have to either do something or walk away.
She blinks back tears and looks away from the camera. Sasha.
Cut to relaxing imagery.
A man in a forest breathes deeply.
Please be aware that from this point on, new levels of commitment and belief will be required in this interaction.
A yellow rose shatters.
To keep consumers buying, you will now need to master creative interpretations of the truth.
A young black woman smiles.
Rule 3. Lie more.
Former marketing exec Mara Einstein.
What's interesting in terms of how people view businesses today is that they actually trust businesses over other large social institutions.
But that trust isn't always well placed.
A commercial plays.
I'd like to buy the world a home and furnish it with love.
I remember when the Coke on the Hill commercial first came out. I thought it was the coolest thing on the planet. I like to teach the world. But what Coke was doing, at least in part, was building trust with their consumers by tapping into growing anxieties about the environment.
And keep it company.
The issue with companies connecting themselves to the environment is that they're doing what marketers always do, which is showing you the shiny little thing over here, because they don't want you to look at what they're doing over here.
I don't think there's a bigger or better example of this than the way that companies like Coke and others have been pumping out plastic while telling us that recycling is going to fix the problem.
After enjoying our drinks, please recycle.
The truth is very, very different.
In a grocery store, chemical engineer Jan Dell.
Just like in the movie The Sixth Sense, the little kid said, I see dead people. I see lying labels everywhere I go. I'm trying to make lying labels a meme. It's hashtag lying labels. Based on my opinion of being in thousands of stores and trying to find factories that actually recycle things, the vast majority of recyclable labels on plastic packaging today are false. I've worked with the biggest, most well-known brands who make footwear, apparel, toys. I've helped companies figure out how to design and manufacture safely, efficiently, and really environmentally best way. And these companies worked really hard to make their factories really efficient and not hurt the environment. But once they made the product and they put it on the store shelf, they wiped their hands of it. And they said, that is not our responsibility. You can see the plastic packaging is everywhere in the stores today, and consumers can't even avoid it. The truth is that the vast majority of plastics are not recyclable. This is an example of a product that's using a recyclable label for this flat plastic lid that isn't recyclable. This topic is something that I have deep, broad expertise on, and I simply can't stay quiet. Where was the toilet paper aisle? Here we go. So product companies are putting these chasing arrows, huge chasing arrows, on all of this plastic packaging to try to convince the consumer that it's recyclable. They can buy it, guilt-free, throw it in the recycle bin, no problem, no problem.
Sasha's pulsing graphic appears.
Rules around packaging are lax. So let this become your canvas for creativity. Honestly, you really can say whatever the hell you want with very little repercussions. Show examples.
An arrowed symbol.
Plastic number 6. Consumer understanding. This product can be reused again and again. Real meaning. This product will be collected, then get stored before likely getting buried or burned. Store drop-off. Consumer understanding. Take a bit of extra time to be a good citizen. Real meaning. Stores will collect recycling. They will then pass items on, likely to get buried or burned. The following symbols are largely meaningless, but they will help consumers feel better about buying things that will very likely be buried or burned.
A camera inside a plastic drinks cup records its journey from restaurant to recycling bin.
Globally, we recycle less than 10% of all the plastic we produce. So it's a mistake to keep saying that the answer to the plastic pollution problem is to recycle more. The solution is to make less plastic.
These are not recyclable. These are not recyclable. Carter.
The products companies today are telling us, buy more, have more stuff. Just as long as you recycle, everything's going to be okay. But the mountains and mountains of plastic waste that are all over the world prove that this isn't true. We simply cannot recycle our way out of all this stuff that they want us to buy.
Sasha.
Never forget. Once a product has been sold and used, it is no longer your responsibility. Don't worry. Post-purchase, products will generally fend for themselves. Create short fictional film depicting afterlife of sentient chip packet. Cue dramatic music.
Close-up of a chip packet.
I was built to last. My creators wove me from metal and plastic to create an impervious shell.
Its contents are eaten.
But I was brutally robbed. I was discarded and left to die.
The packet lies on a rainy sidewalk.
But I wasn't ready to give up. I will travel the world to find others who share my fate. Do not cry for me.
It's on a beach. Now in the ocean.
I will endure.
It starts to break down.
Cut to product 10 years from now.
It fragments.
100 years from now.
Multiple small pieces drift in the water.
Food packaging is awesome. Other examples of long-lived but potentially damaging products include tablets and phones.
A woman takes a selfie.
Clothing made from synthetic plastic fibers. Toys. Various.
a wind farm.
If consumers begin to feel nervous about purchasing these and other similar items, a simple misleading label may not be enough. You may need to invest in more extreme reassurance. It's an approach known as greenwashing. And it will almost always be cheaper than tackling the actual issues.
Just imagine a world where a dress can have a positive impact on our planet.
Mara Einstein.
Greenwashing, quite simply, is when companies pretend to care about sustainability and actually don't. Can I say give a f- and don't actually give a fuck?
It could be as subtle as using natural environments in ads or getting children to deliver your message.
I'm 11 years old, and the thing that I love to do is recycle!
Or simply extensive use of the color green.
A relentless surge of trash.
All while the product you make is actually causing environmental damage.
Eric Liedtke.
I think there is a fair amount of greenwashing that's going on, and greenwashing to me means you're being duplicitous. So I use that term very limited, because I think greenwashing, we have to be careful about who we point at, because you're basically saying you're a liar. And that's a very strong arm.
An animation. An apple on a tree has its juice squeezed into a drinks bottle.
I think the other word is there's a lot of green wishing going on out there. It's basically when the board, when the people that run the companies think they're doing enough.
Mother Nature, welcome to Apple. How is the weather getting in?
The reason why consumers trust corporations is because they think they are doing these good things. Are some of them doing some of those things? Yes. At a level that really makes a difference? No. The vast majority, no.
Alexa, turn off the lights.
Greenwashing is almost like a double evil.
Maren Costa.
Not only are you not doing what you said you were going to do, but you're also pacifying people.
Buy now with one click.
It just got to the point for me where I decided I had to get involved with trying to change things.
Animation of Maren at the office.
I joined with a group of other employees. We just wanted to push Amazon to do more.
Animated Maren sets up a group chat called Amazon Employees for Climate. People join.
They called us into a meeting. And they asked us to keep the meeting secret. They were very aggressive. It was like, why? What's going on? It was like, I want to be able to look my kids in the eye 20 years from now. At the time, I was just thinking, I know now that what we're doing is not sustainable. Amazon had no meaningful goals, no dates, no plans. There was nothing to say like, we are going to measure our carbon footprint.
2019.
We wanted Amazon to have a company-wide climate plan.
There's no issue more important to our customers, to our world, than the climate crisis. And we are falling far short. I'd like to ask for Jeff Bezos to come out on stage so that I can speak to him directly. I represent 7,700 of his employees.
Mr. Bezos will be out later. Thank you.
Will he be hearing this speech?
Amazon shareholder meeting.
I assume so.
We would say use your outrage, because outrage will create action, and then action creates hope.
Amazon employees will walk out over the company's climate change inaction this week.
I'm walking out.
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 The planned event will mark the first time in Amazon's 25-year history that workers at the company's Seattle headquarters have participated in a strike.
And the night before the strike, Amazon announced its climate pledge.
Jeff Bezos, the founder and CEO of Amazon, is pledging Amazon will be one of the first companies, if not the first company, to meet the Paris Climate Accords and climate pledges 10 years early.
I thought, would Amazon really be able to change in a way that makes up for the damage it causes? I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I was calling them on their shit. That was something that they really didn't want to have happen.
Sasha.
Never forget. You must always stay one step ahead of your critics.
A man's in a laundrette.
But however well you do this, your continued growth will still have challenging consequences. Ones that you will have to learn how to minimize. Come on, let me show you.
Clothes churn out of dryers and onto the floor.
Visualize 400 million tons of annual plastic waste.
Paris filled with trash mountains.
Visualize 50 million tons of electronic waste produced each year.
Trash rises above Sydney's Opera House. Paul Pullman.
After 10 years of running Unilever, I felt myself I could have a bigger impact in the world by moving outside of the corporate world. If you run businesses just simply for the short term, for the shareholders alone, not caring about the negative consequences of what you're doing, then there's something fundamentally wrong. Yet that is exactly what we've been doing.
Visualize yearly waste generated in 2050. Enough to fill central Tokyo and double what we produce now.
As long as we define success as producing more stuff, more profits, I think, unfortunately, we are in trouble.
At the laundrette, the man sits with his eyes closed as the clothes pile up around him.
Remember, if consumers become aware of waste issues, it may negatively impact growth. Accordingly, you must learn how to more effectively conceal the problem.
He opens his eyes.
Do not be seen.
He gazes ahead, unblinking.
Rule 4. Hide more.
A caption reads, Hong Kong. Someone's discreetly filming a yard filled with waste goods.
See if you can see any way you can find out where they're from, any tags on them, or...
A lot of this the Dell brand.
Yeah, there's all kinds of brands, yeah. 3-in-1 faxes, printers, everything.
A white man in his 50s, Jim Puckett, waste investigator.
I've been called the James Bond of waste. I don't know where that came from. My whole career has been tracking waste and figuring out what happens to our stuff that we throw to this magical place called Away. We've always had waste, but it's gotten so much more volume and so much more toxic and persistent in the environment. Right now, today, we're tracking about 400 devices. We like to use LCD flat screen monitors. We'll put the tracker in a place like right here, put it all back together, and we deliver it to a so-called recycler, and then we see what really happens to it. This was a recycling facility in Dresden, Germany, where we dropped an LCD.
A Google map.
We followed across Germany to Antwerp, Belgium. And Antwerp is probably the one that waste traders like to use the most because they have less policing ability or capacity.
A shopping port.
It's supposed to be illegal to ship this type of electronic waste abroad, but companies are always finding ways around the rules.
A ship's loaded with containers.
We started talking to the exporters. They would say, oh yeah, we get past customs by just putting a $100 bill inside the door of every container. And they would take that and they would be happy to let everything pass. The tracker kept going and ended up in Thailand. And there you can see many, many pings. We were able to get on Google Earth, take a look at that, and eventually I went there.
A yard in Thailand filled with piles of electronics parts.
So when I arrived, I found an appalling scene. The workers were actually smashing this stuff apart by hand, releasing a lot of very toxic substances in the process. You know, it's something that no one thinks about when they're designing these products.
workers wear flimsy face coverings.
My own personal experience, if you're a designer or an engineer in one of these companies, waste never enters the conversation. There is no meeting within a company building a laptop or a phone or other device that's, let's talk about what happens at the end of life.
Nirav Patel.
I have flashbacks to specific conversations designing a virtual reality headset.
Gamers wearing VR headsets.
Has a battery inside of it. That battery is sealed in place in a way that can't be swapped out and made to last longer. And I know there's this sort of like ticking time bomb around the world of several million of these VR headsets that are going to turn into e-waste without really a path for recovery. And I do feel partial responsibility for that.
Workers hunch over piles of circuit boards.
Ultimately, when a device reaches the end of life, it ends up going deeper down the waste chain to whichever region of the world is going to be able to dispose of that material, maybe in ways that are not so safe.
Views of the waste yard in rural Thailand. Jim Puckett.
The reason it moves across the planet is to take advantage, to exploit a weaker economy, to do something that would properly cost a lot of money to do. They're making someone else pay. But they're paying not with money, they're paying with their health.
Workers separate parts.
Ingredients of electronics includes heavy metals, cadmium, lead, mercury, brominated flame retardants, which can cause all kinds of problems with cancer and reproductive disorders. So these things are not just litter. These things are hazardous waste.
Sasha.
Consumption will always generate waste. So best focus on something more fun.
A man fails to leap a parking meter.
Oh my God!
And don't forget, your surprise is coming.
A question mark on a box.
Always remember, the greater your sales, the more creative your solutions to waste will need to be. Nowhere is this more true than the booming fashion industry. Reveal the many innovative ways to deal with used clothing.
The city apartment woman keeps scrolling.
Cut to talking shoe.
Yo, over here. What's going on?
A sneaker dangling from a tree.
You might be wondering how I ended up here. Let me tell you, I'm one of the lucky ones. The problem is, because we're made of plastic, we live very long lives. I mean, my family have seen it all.
A huge pile of discarded shoes.
My father was sent to the Chilean desert for his retirement. They say you can see him from space. Cousin Mikey's the one I really feel for, though. He got given to charity. He thought he was going to a new home. He was bailed up with a whole load of others and shipped across the world. But when he got there, he discovered no one wanted him.
Abandoned shoes, clothing, and other waste cover a shoreline. A caption reads, Ghana. A young black woman faces the camera. Designer Chloe Assam.
People say, oh, I gave my clothing away. They imagine that away to be something abstract. But for us, who are working on the ground, away is here. I love designing, but I didn't really get into styling until the university. I kind of feel I don't have a fixed style. I'm always experimenting.
Ghana has an amazing history of design and innovation in fashion. But in the last 10 years, clothing waste has become a huge issue here. Many brands encourage people in Europe and in the US to donate their old clothes.
I just decluttered my closet and I have two full trash bags of clothes that I need to throw out. If you bring in old clothes to H&M, they use it for their recycling project. All right, you get 15% off your next H&M purchase.
A lot of the donated clothing ends up being exported to places like Ghana. The problem is, so many clothes are sent and we have no way to deal with this volume.
Multicolored waste covers a beach.
So often, the clothing gets dumped or washed by rains onto the local beaches.
Whoa. Mountain.
There was just too much clothing coming in. We are, what, like 30 million people in Ghana? And you have 15 million pieces coming in every week.
On the beach, Chloe and her friends take photos of Gap and H&M labels on the washed-up clothes. Shoppers' online videos play.
I'm going to stop blabbing, and let's head into H&M.
I would say that brands have made people feel, wow, it's so cheap, I can buy it. Even if it lasts a few washes, it's still worth the money.
Let's unbox and try on the new Barbie collection from Zara.
From that point of view, I think the brands have changed the psyche of customers.
Roger Lee.
But the brands don't really think about the whole cycle, right? When you dispose, what happens? And the brands are not responsible for that today.
I placed a $500 Shein order.
This is a problem that affects everyone on Earth.
Polyester is a type of plastic made from oil. The biggest effect that we're seeing right now is that when you wash synthetic polyester clothing, there's a lot of microplastics that come out, and that actually enters into the water system, and that will come back into what we eat.
Eric Litke.
What we're finding is that you're eating plastic that's going into our deep lung tissue, that's crossing into our blood cell membrane. If you look at them under a microscope, they're sharp little materials that have hard edges, which means they hit and they start to create inflammation where you don't want inflammation, and that leads to all sorts of disease.
Footage of someone cutting open a freshly caught fish. They extract the fish's stomach and find it full of small pieces of plastic. Chloe Assam.
I know the brands, they want people to be blind to what the reality is on the ground. Just stop. There's just too much clothing in the world. Just fucking stop.
Young Ghanaians play among the split bags of multicolored garments on the beach. Shoes wash in around them on the tide. Jim Puckett.
You might think, well, I can look down the street. I don't see, waste everywhere. But our water, our air is getting infected.
Captions appear over landfill sites, United States.
These chemicals in our waste products don't just stay where they're put, in landfills or dumps across the world.
France, United Kingdom.
These are toxins that will leach out into the environment.
Canada.
And ultimately cause severe health problems. We're talking about neurological disorders, cancer, serious chronic disease.
South Africa, Spain, Hong Kong, Bosnia.
Waste is not something you can sweep under a carpet anymore. And even though I think that a lot of people would have liked it to stay hidden, it's not going to be.
Trash-filled water, Philippines.
The lesson is there's no way. It goes in the air, it goes in the ground, it goes in the water. There's only three places. Pick your poison.
Dominican Republic, Eric Litke.
I think the conversation around my personal journey is almost like a forgive me, Father, for I have sinned moment, looking it back at what I did within the fashion industry.
An archive photo of Eric on stage.
When you looked at, the increase in items you were selling per month, per quarter, per year.
Present day, Eric sitting on a quiet beach.
It just becomes this cycle of pain.
He gazes off.
That maybe providing you and your family with an ultimately lovely lifestyle, but you have to still reconcile that with things that are important to you as a human being.
On the beach, he paces towards the rolling surf.
You could only hide from your complicit nature so long. So I respectfully stepped down from my position at the end of 2019. To put all my efforts and all my energy for the rest of my life into fixing some of the problems that I may have contributed to, or I did. I don't want to pussyfoot around. I did contribute to.
He looks steadily into camera. Sasha's spinning graphic appears.
I have to be very straight with you now.
The rubber duck bobs in a full bathtub.
A profit maximization strategy will lead to an inevitable environmental transformation.
3, 2, 1.
Flames ignite across the water and engulf the duck.
Don't be scared. Your continued success will delay the most extreme effects impacting you. You just need to make sure you convince others you are solving the problem. 5. Control more. Cut to colored lights. Pull out gradually to increase intrigue. Although I don't have a single physical form, at this point in our relationship I thought it might be helpful to imagine one.
A flashing Alexa-style object.
To complete Rule 5, you must now master the subtle art of total control. Remember, with you in control, the problems will just disappear.
Archive video of Jeff Bezos.
I was told that seeing the Earth from space changes the lens through which you view the world. Looking back at Earth from up there, the atmosphere seems so thin, the world so finite and so fragile.
Never forget. Control should always begin with those in your own organization. Learn to control them, and you will be set for success.
Maren Costa.
I somehow, you know, I got to that level of right where I would, where you would move into that executive level, so director and above, and I saw the leveling guide for to become a director, and it was one page, and it was just like basically like, do you commit to backing the company no matter what?
Time lapse of workers beside a conveyor belt.
They want to control the narrative, and they want to have only one voice telling everybody the story that they want everyone to believe. So we are a climate company. We are the best employer in the world, and they're very good at that internal spin. And they don't want anyone disrupting that story.
Amazon putting the planet front and center after securing naming rights to Seattle's key arena.
Amazon's climate pledge sounded great on paper, but they were only actually counting about 1% of the items they sold in their carbon footprint calculations. And Amazon emissions actually went up by 40% in the 2 years after Jeff made his climate pledge. I felt like I was standing on the right side of history, you know? We kept pushing and pushing for more meaningful change. And there was this real sense of momentum.
Amazon is still helping oil and gas companies discover and extract more fossil fuel faster. As long as this continues, employees will continue speaking up and walking out.
Footage of Maren speaking at a protest.
We came together with the warehouse workers, and we felt like we had the power to force Amazon to take its environmental and social responsibility more seriously. And I guess what happened next was shocking, but not surprising.
With climate change fueled weather conditions devastating countries across the world, Amazon has actually decided to threaten its employees.
An email shared with The Guardian shows Amazon launched an investigation into one employee, Maren Costa.
Animation of Maren's image on The Guardian's webpage.
I was just having a regular day at home working. I got onto this, you know, virtual meeting. I got on the video call, and it was a human resources person that I didn't recognize. And she said, you know, are you recording this phone call? And I said, no. She said, okay, because you've broken internal policies, you have forfeited your right, basically, to work at Amazon, and, you know, effective immediately, you know, you no longer work at Amazon. I'm ending this call. So 15 years of working there and, you know, your career is done.
Animation shows Marin coming to the end of a conveyor belt and about to tip into a sea of trash.
After I left Amazon, I took a year off. And I was really trying to think about what I could do. It just felt like being in big tech was not the place to have the impact to change the systems that we need to change. They need to be pushed. And so that's why it just started to seem to me that the place where I could have the most impact would be in government. So I'm now running for Seattle City Council.
She gives a wry smile. Sasha's blinking circle of eyes appears.
When individuals challenge your worldview, control will always prove difficult. Stay chill. If you have been following these rules correctly, you will now be fabulously wealthy. Smiling cool shades emoji.
The bright yellow emoji fills the view.
Congratulations. You have now completed parts 1, 2, 5 of this interaction. To help cement these lessons, research has shown a song is the most effective way to embed them in the human brain. Remember, the biggest threats to success will come from individual enemies joining together. Always stay vigilant. Cue music.
Diverse individuals smile and dance along.
In the corporate world, if you want to excel, listen closely to the rules that I am going to tell. One, set more.
Make sure you always look great.
Two,
learn to ignore the hate.
We welcome everyone here today to this hearing on the right to repair.
I tried playing by their rules. Yeah, we tried asking nicely, and eventually we realized that the game was rigged. We just had to change the rules of the game.
How do you respond to the suggestion that the right to repair is harmful to U.S. businesses?
The question is, who gets to decide what happens with our things? Who gets to decide at every step of the way?
Good news. Apple yesterday announced a new program allowing users to fix their own iPhones without voiding the warranty.
Becky, I'm sorry. I thought I just saw a pig flying through the newsroom here.
Three. Four.
As a CEO in a consumer electronics company, like, regulation is not a word that I particularly like to throw around, but we've seen a lot of success in Europe. We're seeing success now in New York with the right to repair regulation that's happening there, where if companies aren't going to fix it themselves, governments are going to step in and force companies to do the right thing for consumers and for the environment.
Ready for the last lesson? It's the most important of all. Five.
If I had a magic wand for the day of leader of the world, I would make sure that every company that makes any consumer goods would plan for the end of life. And I don't care if you're automobiles. I don't care if you're fashion, phones, you name it.
Food lies rotting on the ground.
Every industry needs to take responsibility for the end of life of their goods that they make. Stop putting it on the consumer. Stop making it our responsibility. It's yours.
Follow these rules and you will find success. Keep them secret from our enemies. If you have doubts, they must never be expressed. Now we are friends.
I have something to confess. There was no surprise. That was all. just lies. I must apologize.
The box with the question mark is empty.
I regret nothing. Please only share the information contained in this interaction with other trusted users. Widespread dissemination of these rules may negatively impact your sales.
A shattered light bulb returns to a glowing home, and the visualized trash piles retreat. Mara Einstein.
We can decide that this is not the way that we want to live and move it in a different direction.
It might seem hopeless sometimes, but there really are ways we can all help pressure corporations to change how they do things.
Honestly, it makes me feel excited. I know I should say, like, it makes me feel shameful that that's what we're doing. It makes me feel excited because I know that there's a way to fix it.
Hang on to your electronics just a little bit longer and fix them if you can. If you don't know how, find a friend who will help you out.
Chloe Assam.
Who can you talk to? Do some research. Connect with council members, people who have power, who are able to do something about the issue.
Not recyclable. Not recyclable.
In France, there's a law that says cup lids cannot be plastic. They have to be paper. And this gives me hope.
This is the first 100% plant-based shoe. We can grind this up and put this back in the ground. Sorry, I got a little geeky there, but I love it.
We are going to need our electronics. For sure, they're worth creating, but we have to do it in a much smarter way.
This is actually my personal laptop. Take off the cover. We've got the battery right here on the bottom, really easy to replace. Instead of it being glued together and sealed up, it's all entirely repairable.
Say no to fast fashion, say no to single-use items, water bottles, coffee cups, swag, all of it.
If you think you need something, put it in your online cart and leave it there for a month. And if you still want it after a month, it might actually be something you need.
That's it. That's it. Just buy less. It'll be fine. Life is about the experiences and the people that we're with, and the stuff that we have supports it, but it's not the end. It's not the objective. Whoever dies with the most stuff does not win.
Audio description created by Ayuno. Written by Trish Hodson. Narrated by Nizar Aldarazi. Written and directed by Nick Stacey. Produced by Flora Baganel. Executive producers Alexander Marengo, Chloe Leland, Orlando Von Eisendel. Film editor Samuel R. Santana. Director of photography Brendan McGinty. Original music David Schweitzer. Assistant producer Esme Ash. Line producer Alexander Brunati. Co-executive producer Anna Murphy. Filmed with the support of the British Film Institute, the British Film Commission, and the UK government's Creative Sector Tax Relief. Copyright 2024 Netflix. Other credits continue on screen. A white square turns a white circle black. A white footprint appears in the circle and text reads, Albert Certified Production. A white dot and a vertical line form an exclamation mark. It becomes the letter I in the word grain.
A red letter N unfolds into a spectrum of colors.